This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso. Oh, it's fabulous! A strike to get you up off your feet!
Hello, welcome to See Your Social, Season 4, Episode 14. I don't know how to feel today, Maz, if I'm honest with you. I'm in a bit of a torn situation between whether I'm going to praise the club or whether I'm going to be a bit, not negative, but a little bit frustrated. But before we get into all the great fun of the game, Maz, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm good. Same as you, mate. I feel like it's a really weird time at the moment because I think in the last, 5 years, like a lot's changed, like to our football club, and I think as time's gone on, our expectations have changed.
Yes,
but I think sometimes you've got to keep some perspective. But no, I completely get where you're coming from, and it's a frustrating time. I think it's a good time to be a Brighton fan, obviously, because we're in Europe and all that good stuff. But at the same time, it's just like every game is just different, isn't it? It's like every game, you just don't know what to expect. And like, you can't really go into a game feeling confident anymore, as sometimes maybe we did last season. So all in all, I am fine. Supporting Brighton of Albion is a fun time at the moment.
I think you said about expectation and balancing your opinions, but I think you've got to just go with where we are now. Because obviously, we've set the bar so stupidly high last year. We finished in that top six bracket of being, you know, having an absolutely unbelievable season, selling players for £100 million. Like, you wouldn't have ever even thought we'd say half of that stuff. But I think because of where we've got to, we have to hold that similar sort of expectation as fans, isn't it? Because, you know, it's all well and good saying, you know, where we've come from, but equally it's like, well, actually now we're here, so we want to be here.
Oh no.
So I think 100%. That's hard, I think. It's weird.
I 100% agree with you. I think that whole, like, it's sort of that old school fan versus the new school fan. Like, oh, remember where we came from? You know, remember like, we didn't have a club. And I'm like, I get that. I do. But at the same time, I agree with you. I think, you know, we are where we are now. Mm. So let's live in the moment and let's not worry about
where
we actually are.
Isn't it? We don't want to just be here and disappear.
Also as well, Ryan, just quickly, you made a really good point about transfers and, like, you know, selling players. And I think that's one thing we forget as well. We sold, you know, the core of our team last season.
Literally.
The hub, you know, Caicedo and McAllister were literally like the heartbeat of our team.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's apparent, you know, let's be real, we've seen a massive drop off since they've left. And that was always going to happen, I think, naturally. I thought that was a good point to pick up. So, like, let's not forget as well, we have, and, you know, injuries as well at the moment. We've lost Estepinian, who was a key member of our team last season, and Solly March as well to injury. So, you know, we've got to remember as well, remember what's happening as well. We've lost players through, you know, sales and injury. So, you know, we just got to remember we're balancing at the moment. It is tough.
Yeah. And I think when you look back on the summer, I think that's where people's core frustrations are going to come from, isn't it? I mean, that deep down, when every time we lose or we don't get a win and we evidently see the midfield getting overrun, we just think, but we know that we've lost this. How did we not replace it? We had so long to do so. And I think that's what's always going to be in my back of my head is like, you know, that frustration there.
And not just the centre midfield. Let's talk about fullbacks. Let's be real as well. Yeah. Like, you know, I said at the beginning of the season, I wanted to have a Sacha Boey or Barco, and we got neither of them. And right back and left back have been a really tough thing for us because obviously we lost Estupiñán and James Milner's had to, Lamptey or Milner or someone's had to come in. And then Lamptey gets injured.
Veltman got injured as well, didn't he, at some point?
Veltman got injured. And it's like, Why did we not? That was surely a position where we had to strengthen. We had to do it. And we didn't. We went into a season relying on Milner and Lamptey to sort of backfill. And then we had Solly March playing there at one point as well. Left back.
And then he got injured as well.
Yeah, and it's like, I get it. I get injuries are an unfortunate part of the game. And it is unlucky. You can't really put, have foresight for injuries. But at the same time, you surely got to plan a little bit better when it comes to certain positions. But
it's an element of that what if situation, and I think that all of our what ifs have actually come true, which is what's probably the worst part. It's like, you know, what if Lamptey gets injured, then Lamptey gets injured, what if Veltman gets injured, he got injured, and then it was almost a stupid at the beginning of the season, wasn't it, what if he got injured, he's with our sole left back, and then he does get injured. So all of them sort of what ifs have actually happened, and I think that's what's really taken its toll on the team.
And I think what the frustrating thing is, you could have probably predicted that. Let's be real. Like, you could have probably predicted Lamptey to get injured. You could have predicted Lallana not to be able to play. Well, yeah. Lallana can't play every game 90 minutes. Like, you can predict all these things, really. And Welbeck as well is now injured.
Yeah.
Again, if you'd asked me this at the beginning of the season, who do I think will most likely get injured at some point? Welbeck, Lallana and Lamptey are going to be top of my list. And lo and behold, unfortunately, sadly, and again, I don't want them to be injured, but
that is their
track record, and it is frustrating, but just gonna have to make do, aren't we? We're gonna have to deal with it.
Yeah, and I think we weren't that bad against Everton at all. I thought we played a decent game, and as De Zerbi alluded to, we just didn't create enough, and really to win the game, and obviously that we went behind so early in such a stupid fashion. And I think that's what was a bit sour. We can't seem to score goals. Concede goals in like just a normal way. Like, no one just scores a normal goal against us. We have to sort of mess around with it. And you know, I think it was Veltman missed it, wasn't it? And then it comes back across.
Yeah.
And then he has a shot and sort of rebounds back out. And then it's a deflection and it's gone in at the near post. And, you know, no one's got any chance of stopping that from going in. So I'll give Verbruggen his credit. He made the save before that. And yeah, it was just a bit of a circus, wasn't it, in that?
Yeah. I mean, I think defensively in the last few weeks, we have been really, really poor. I think we can go into every game now just like not expecting, expecting to concede. Yeah. I think like every game we've gone into for the last maybe month or so, I've always thought, right, well, we're going to concede, so we're going to have to score more.
Never
than
a 2-0 win on the predictions.
Yeah, anymore, I think Ajax, we had a clean sheet and then... Yeah. I can't remember the last time we had a clean sheet.
I think that was our first one since Arsenal away last season, Ajax.
Wow.
Which is some stat. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, by the way, but I'm pretty sure that was the stat from reading it back then. But yeah.
I think you're right, you know. I'm just looking back now. I think, oh no, here you go. Oh no, this is friendly. Sorry, I'm looking. I think you're right, you know. Yeah, you're right. Arsenal.
Yeah, it's insane. Insane.
So defensively, you can see we're just not the same as we were, pre-Arsenal. And it's just, again, look, we talked about it in just a couple of minutes ago. We have had injuries. We've had, you know, different lineups, you know, no stability in that defence. So you are, you know, naturally, I think you're going to be weaker defensively for that. But yeah, I think, like you said, it was a bit of a shit show at the back for that goal. Verbruggen, my only thing with Verbruggen, could you argue that he could have maybe palmed it more wide? Because he did palm it back
out to
Mykolenko. But again, I think I'm just being a bit harsh, to be fair.
Yeah.
But because he did palm it sort of straight back into Mykolenko's path, which, I mean... Yeah,
Verbruggen's new in the team again, isn't he? And I think that's what the first sort of shock was, wasn't it? When Verbruggen, obviously it was, I think it was Andy Naylor put the tweet on, and then it was sort of saying, we're not going to rotate so much. And then, you know, clearly it was Mind Games with Deserbi. Yeah, yeah. I'd call it Mind Games, maybe putting out to the media some false info to try and trick Everton. But it didn't really make too much of a difference, I thought. I didn't really think anything really changed too much. Verbruggen is a top talent, don't get me wrong. I think he will be great. He needs to run a games. We said on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, he just needs that 10-game stretch of just having regular football, because otherwise, you know, he's never going to get used to the team, especially as a goalkeeper. You know, it's not like he's... Don't get me wrong, if he needs a rest, he needs a rest. But I think at the minute, we just need to have a regular goalkeeper for a bit and then just see how it goes. And for me, yeah, if it's going to be a 21-year-old sensation, so to speak, in Netherlands, he needs that time, doesn't he? But goal was a bit of a sloppy one. And I thought all round were a little bit funny, but I thought that goal came a bit out of nowhere, really. We were just a bit susceptible to that counter-attack. I think it was Calvert-Lewin, McNeil quite carrying it, weren't they? Like they always seem to do against us.
They gave us troubles last season, didn't they?
Yeah.
At the Amex, they absolutely battered us. That core of
and
like,
that was
the
with Caicedo McAllister, so you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah. Well, I think slightly. If you look at overall the game, and again, I know we're going to get into the moments of the game, but I think overall, if you look at it, I think I want to sort of give credit a little bit to Everton. Like I think it was a fair result. You know, I think Sean Dyche now, like they're not the same Everton we saw last season. You know, at the beginning of the season. You know, the first half of the season, they were pretty shocking. Like every team expected to beat Everton. And then you saw once Dyche came in, he sort of settled everything. He's made them a tough team to beat. They set up well. And we saw yesterday, like if you look at the match stats, right, we obviously dominated possession 80% to 20, which is huge domination. But if you look at XG, they had better XG. They had better goal attempts. They had more shots on goal. They had, what else did they have? More goal attempts, more shots on goal, and more XG and bigger XG over the game. However, we had more attacks and more dangerous attacks. So, you know, in terms of a balanced game, if you want to look at sort of stats, of course, use your eyes as well. But if you want to look at stats on the balance of the things, like I think a fair result was a draw. And I think you've got to give credit to Sean Dyche because he does set up his teams well, and you know, we do struggle against low blocks and, you know, teams that
at least we didn't lose, I suppose, is the point from low blocks this time.
And I saw you tweet yesterday about, like, you know, in the heart, like after the game, you're like, oh, it's a point away at Everton's actually not a bad result. Given the circumstances right now, the team that Everton are, because mate, they just beat West Ham, who again themselves are doing all right, the week before away to West Ham, they got a 1-0 win there. And then they've got a draw at home, and it looks like they're progressing every week. So, you know, in hindsight, it's not a terrible point. I know we didn't play our best, and you know, there's those are things to take out of the game. But yeah, like, I know going into it, we wanted to get the win, but if you look back now, 1-1, I think it's a fair result.
I didn't come out of the game salty that we didn't win, if you know what I mean. But you mentioned using your eyes to watch football. And I'm going to use my eyes here on that equaliser because...
Love that segue. Love that segue, Ryan.
Because I don't think that anyone else did use their eyes, at least in the officials. Because I just...
Oh, what shambles.
This weekend, mate, it's been awful, hasn't it? I mean, I was just checking my phone shambles. And I see another one come up from a different game. And you just think, it's not... As we always say, VAR, in theory, should work fine. But we're so unprepared for it at this level. I think it was who was it that got relegated down? Anthony Taylor got relegated down. Right.
Yes,
so,
the Championship, yeah.
Which in itself, by the way, I actually disagree with the process of, because I just feel like you're not actually solving any problem. You're just moving the problem to the Championship and giving them another bad referee. So, like,
That's a very good point, actually. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're just giving them bad.
Instead of sending them, it's like sending them away to a boot camp and then not giving them the training at the boot camp.
Yeah.
Like, you surely want to educate, you want to teach, you want to make them learn what their mistakes are, rather than just going, all right, you've been a naughty boy, go to the naughty step, which is the Championship, apparently.
We'd be on the other end of it, getting another rubbish referee from the Prem. We'd be like, what do we want him for? We're just making the league worse. So, you know, it's stupid, really, I think.
You make a good point. Yeah,
it's weird. So, Anthony Taylor's been relegated, and then you've got... So who was on ours? It was Michael Oliver refereeing, wasn't it? And don't get wrong, there's a couple
last
of...
night.
Yeah, yesterday. Was it Michael Oliver?
Yeah.
Yeah, was it?
I think so, yeah.
And then there was a couple of sort of things. I think Everton had a penalty, questionably.
Yeah, I did want to talk about that, actually.
Yeah, that was just the goal, wasn't it?
McNeil. Yes, yeah, so sorry, just quickly, the referee was Robinson? I've never heard of him. T. Robinson?
Oh, right, I don't know. No idea.
I don't know who that is. But yeah, no, the penalty shout. So yeah, look, I'll be honest here. We're not a biased podcast. It was sketchy. I'm not gonna lie. I think we slightly got away with that one. I do feel like he does push into him, and you could argue maybe does McNeil go down slightly softly, but I do think there's contact there. And if that was the other way around, I would be asking for a penalty, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I think Veltman's quite lucky there, to be honest, because he seems like he was a bit out of position. He was scrambling, and he's come back, and he sort of just fell into him.
Yeah.
And it was sloppy. So, yeah, I think we've got away with one there, to be honest.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you, to be fair. In the moment, I was a bit unsure, I've got to be honest. And then, because I was on that side of the sort of, it's my first and only time at Goodison. So, I didn't, everyone always says how old it is, isn't it? And it's so, like, you know, wooden and.
Yeah, but what was it like?
Yeah, it is literally everything everyone says. I mean, my view was tainted by a big black sort of netting, so I couldn't actually see the goal properly.
Oh, class.
And yeah, it was just made out of wood, and it was just literally just wooden blocks as my seats. And I thought, yeah, I can see where you're getting.
So that new stadium.
That new stadium is going to be unbelievable for them. It'd be but it's a historic place. Don't get me wrong. I feel like that's the only reason I really wanted to go. I was like, I always avoid Everton away because I never seem to do that well, apart from the last couple of years. I was like, I'm just going to do it to get out, you know, just to say I went to Goodison Park. And yeah, I'm sort of glad I did it. I'm glad I ticked it off. But yeah, it was. Anyway, so the view of that that moment, I did think that's a bit dodgy, I'm not going to lie. And yeah, and I've watched it back on the YouTube since, and I thought, yeah, that we did get away with one there, especially Veltman, to be honest. But yeah, well, he didn't make it much better anyway, because as I say, that goal that wasn't by Dunk, what a finish, by the way. What a finish that was. Mate, I thought it was Ferguson, honestly. That was Dunk.
Honestly, first time, and I'm 99.9% sure it was his left foot as well. To be able to hit that first time on the volley, with that kind of precision, that power, like you said, you would not think he's a centre half. If you showed someone who's never watched football in their life, you went, right, watch this goal, tell me what position they play.
Yeah.
They're not going to say he's a centre half. Yeah. So, yeah, it was, but we all know, like, I saw that go in, right? I saw the goal go in, and I was like, do you know what? Obviously, I was like, fucking hell, what a goal. But then I was like, do you know what? Dunkey's got, we all know he's got techers. Like, we know his technical ability, how good he is at his range of passing. His free kick. Yeah, good save from Pickford. Like, we know he's got techers. But yeah, that finish was obscene. And let's talk about the offside, because I think it's a ridiculous decision. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, have they based it on his hand?
Yeah.
So how is a hand giving you an advantage? Do you score with your hand?
Count, doesn't it? It's actually written in the rules on the FA website that's wrong. That's incorrect. So we should actually technically get another apology for that, because you can't. It has to be on that shoulder or the sleeve, isn't it? And that wasn't even on the sleeve. It was like halfway down his forearm. So God knows how they can even give it. So yeah.
Apology FC.
Yeah.
Apology FC, mate. Might as well just. I mean, I know we've said this, like, honestly, I don't remember how many times we've said this now, but what does an apology do? Like, like you mentioned earlier, Ryan, like, about referees, right? Like, it's the same thing, you know, what are we doing to change things? It's all good saying sorry, sorry, messed up again. Well, what does that do for us? Does that give us 3 points? Does that give us the goal we should have got? Like, what's being done by the FA, by the referees, by anyone whose, you know, job it is, what are you actually doing now? What are you
They're doing, to be honest. They're just protecting each other. And that's what's more annoying, isn't it? Because it's like that authority, you can't get past it because they're all friends. So, you know, well and good getting rid of Anthony Taylor. But again, as I said earlier, I think it's just moving the problem to the Championship anyway. And then he's just going to rot in there. And he's going to cause problems in there. They're going to complain. It just makes makes the problem worse, doesn't it, if anything?
Yeah.
And I just think it's just nothing's changed, does it? We've said this, how many times have we said this on this podcast about poor refereeing?
That's the frustrating thing. It's like, as fans, right? So I think Arteta summed it up brilliantly after his press conference yesterday. Because obviously, there was some big contentious. You know, as we all saw, there was three different sort of reasons to chalk off the goal.
Right.
All of them that they basically didn't agree that was anything wrong. So I think the ball going out of play, there was an offside, and there was a foul. So it's three different sort of incidents within one action of one run of play. So yeah, ended up giving the goal, and obviously Arteta just went in after the game. He was like, "It's a disgrace." Like, he was like, "I've been in this country for 20 years now, and to have this standard of officiating and, you know, technology, the technology we have, we're not using it properly. How are we still at this stage?" He was like, "It's embarrassing. It's not good enough." And I agree with him completely. It's like, we've had this technology now for a good few years now. And look, it's not going to be perfect by any stretch, but at the same time, is it going to be at this level that we thought it would be right now? Like, how have we had it closer to perfect
than it is now? I mean, we are so far away from perfect. I mean, we've got to be on that 5% of 100. I mean, honestly, it's so far away from being anywhere near what it's supposed to do. Mm. And what we've had it for, what, as you say, 4 years now, since 2019 it came in.
Yeah.
And it's done nothing.
And I know it's not VAR, but like, even like stuff like, you know, like the goal line technology failed and Sheffield United got relegated because of it. And like, you know, Aston Villa stayed up because of it, like stuff like that. And again, I know it's not complete. It's not technically VAR or, you know, there's different type of thing, but still it's technology, right? And it's like, we've seen technology fail us quite a lot of times. And it goes back to this whole argument of like, oh, do you want VAR in general? And I do. I think, to answer the question, yeah, I think I do I want VAR. I think it does help.
Yeah, but it's just...
Yeah, but it needs to be used properly. It needs to be, you know, developed more. And it needs to be, you know, why, during the off-season, right, come at the end of the season or whenever, why don't they really, really go to town and just have, like, full-on, you know, development and research and, you know, whatever they need to do to just develop it and make it better. Like, why are they not putting all their resource and time into making these things better?
Wasn't it Paul Merson nailed it, wasn't it, in a couple of weeks ago with Mike Dean on the Sky
Saturday.
And he flipped, absolutely flipped. And to be honest with you, I don't blame him. With some of the stuff that Mike Dean was saying, I probably would have flipped as well. And I think he was saying it's, you know, just doing something for the sake of it, just replaying for the sake of it, wasn't it? He was like, for the sake of it. He was like, this is one of the biggest games in the calendar. And even if it wasn't one of the biggest games in the calendar, these games matter so much to fans. You know, it's the whole point of my week is to watch the football at the end of the week. And you to have it just, you know, sort of brushed over by them, like it doesn't really matter that much, just chill out a bit. Yeah. It's just think those are the people that are in charge of it. So what am I following? What am I paying money for? And that's it, really. It's mind-boggling.
I think another final point on this is, you just mentioned it now, money. Like, the amount of money they make from us, the amount of money they pump into this sport, why are you not spending that money on things that are actually needed rather than stupid like ideas like the Super League and all this bullshit that you always try and like spin on us? Like, instead of trying to, you know, better the product, it feels like they're just spending that money elsewhere and in other places and with other things that we don't need. So you know, the amount of money, like you say, as consumers we pay, you know, our hard-earned money. And I think McTominay mentioned it, and again it wasn't to do with VAR, but like Man United fans are, you know, moaning about how shit they are at the moment, and he's like, and McTominay came out and said, he goes, these fans pay a lot of money to come and see us, like let's give them something, you know, to be happy about. And it's like, it's the same with VAR and technology. It's like, in football, we pay so much money. We make the product what it is. Without fans, you'd be nothing. So why don't you improve our, user journey and make the product better?
Well, we saw it, didn't we, in COVID years with no fans. I didn't even like watching football, to be honest. I watched it for the sake of the podcast. And I think, honestly, if I didn't do the podcast and all the stuff on Twitter and articles, whatever, I actually just don't think I'd have been that interested in it. I don't think I'd have watched it at all. Because I didn't really enjoy the games. I mean, I sort of just watched them, but it just didn't really mean anything to me as much.
It was flat, wasn't it?
I couldn't even recall that many games from that season in the way I could recall games from 10 years ago. It's weird.
Hey, COVID was a blur, mate. I still take 2 years off my age, so I'm actually still 30, mate.
Yeah.
So,
I'm still probably
20. COVID doesn't count, mate. COVID doesn't count. It was all fake news, mate. It was fake news. Nothing. Yeah. It didn't actually happen.
Yeah, no, yeah. Literally. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, frustrating. And then we sort of go into the end of the half. Again, we were pushing a bit, to be fair. We're knocking the ball around, and this was the thing. It gave me a bit of confidence going into the second half because I thought, you know, if we were to score before half time, it changes the game, obviously. But I thought the way we were kicking it about, I thought we have a chance. But as we always know, a Sean Dyche team to try and break through when they're 1-0 up is one of the hardest tasks to get through in football. Yeah. He's so experienced.
And arguably as well, before we got our goal, McNeil could have made it 2 as well. Mm. Yeah, that shot that went slightly. To be fair, it wasn't like a clear cut chance, but it was still a chance. Yeah, where the shot sort of went slightly wide. Mm. But yeah, like I think yeah, on the balance of it, I think in the second half we were better. Much better than in the first half. But yeah, it still wasn't quite it. And I think that goal as well from Matoma. Fair play to Matoma. Good play from him, to be fair.
Yeah.
Took on his man. And he did give Young a few times where he sort of like, shit, I'm in a world of trouble here. It was one of those goals where, look, if you concede it, you're fuming. Like if we conceded that, we're seething. Mm. But it's nice to be on the other end of it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to be on the other end of it. I think like you mentioned earlier, on the balance of the game, I think it was a 1-1 draw was right. I think if we'd gone away losing that game, I think we would have been frustrated. But to then win it, we probably would have walked away thinking, fucking hell, we got a bit lucky there.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I want to mention to you Matoma just quick, because he's been a bit of a hot and cold talking point on Twitter, and I was a bit surprised to see so much cold about him, if I'm honest with you, because I am on the side of, I think Matoma is by far our best attacker, not even close.
Yep.
It's just when he's doubled up on, it's hard, because on the right side, as much as I like Adingra, I think he's a great talent, you know, he's not Matoma, and so he's not going to sort of do what Matoma can do. So if we're not attacking on the right, it basically isolates Matoma, and I think that the expectations sort of raised on him. But yeah, Matoma to you, Maz, I don't get the real frustration towards him. But what do you think?
No, I agree. I think there was a patch, and we spoke about it quite candidly on the pod. There was a patch where he was struggling for form. I think it was about maybe a month ago now, or you know, roughly around that patch. He was struggling a few games that way. He just didn't look the same Matoma. But I think overall, on the whole, he has been very good. Like you said, he's our best attacking outlet by far. I think Adingra's still very raw. He's still not nowhere near the completed article. He's still got a lot of learning to do, and you know, he still has a few games where he sort of goes missing. And then Ferguson as well. I think he's been a bit hot and cold. I know he's had his illness. He's been struggling. I think that's clearly affected him, because mad thing, he's still one of the top goal scorers in the Premier League, even though he's barely played. And you know, and credit to him, I think that shows a lot about him as a player. But yeah, he's still like, you know, I think he's still struggling with that illness, whatever it might have been. But yes, and then going back to your point, you know, Matoma, he has been the best attacker we've had. So to call him like poor, but and I think going back to completely the beginning of the pod, we've got to remember, Estupiñán, he had such a good relationship with Estupiñán.
Yeah.
And for him to be out of the team and not having that, you know, having Estupiñán behind you, I think it is going to affect you as a player. Having such a strong link with someone and playing so well with someone, for them to then go out of the team, you're sort of like, oh, I'm a bit lost here. Like, okay, cool, you have a left back, but he's not the left back you're used to, or, you know, you have that kind of connection with. So I think we've got to remember that as well. Like, I think once we see Estupiñán back in the team, I think we're going to see the best of Matoma again. I think he'll allow him to be the best version of himself.
Yeah, I agree as well. And I also think it's just that right side. It's just nowhere near as strong as the left when Estupiñán's fit.
It's
so far away from being as good as Matoma and Estupiñán. As much as I really like Veltman, obviously he's not going to go on and take on players. And Lamptey's injured too often to rely on that. So, you know, to have someone of Estupiñán's quality on the other side is so necessary. And also the same quality as Matoma on the other side. March is probably a lot closer than Dingro is. But, you know, now he's out anyway, so it doesn't matter. So it's just a Dingro we're sort of relying on at the minute. Probably wouldn't fancy João Pedro out on the right. And you probably wouldn't really want a fancy Fatty on the right. So it's hard, really. We don't really have that right winger that can really do what Matoma can do. And I think when we do, it gives teams something else to worry about. As we saw, like, you know, beginning of this year, when we were firing, weren't we? We had Matoma March every other week. And it was like, you know, one of them would score, one of them would assist nearly every game. And I think that's what made us a lot more lethal. Whereas now, everyone knows, if you just double up on Matoma, if Odinga isn't going to score, they're probably not going to do too much.
And that's a really good point, actually. Because think about it as well. If Matoma... Also, as well, you've got to remember, if Matoma feels like he is the outlet, he has to be the main person. Maybe that is a bit of pressure on him. He's thinking, in the back of his mind, but he's thinking, I've got to carry this attacking threat. I've got to be the one everything goes through. So to have that kind of pressure...
I thought. We pretty much went to him every time, didn't we?
Exactly. So maybe that's, like you said, I think March took that load off him. Then when Ansu Fati's in the team, takes that load off him a little bit. Like, I think he needs that sort of freedom of being able to think, right, I can just play without any pressure. I think that's when he's at his best, is when he doesn't feel like he's got too much pressure on him. He sort of just, you know, you just give him the ball and he does what he does. Like, you know, that incredible dribbling ability he's got, that technical ability, the way he takes on players. And that's what you want to see with Matoma. I think you want to see him in a one-on-one position with the fullback, take him on, go down the wing, cut in, cross it, or you know, lay it off and goal. So I think you want to see him in those positions. And are we getting, I suppose the question is, are we getting him in those positions enough? Are we getting him one-on-one enough with players? Which I think in balance we are. I think he's getting enough opportunities, but then it's like, do we have the players around him? You know, at the moment Ferguson not being the best he can be. I think at the moment the team is struggling as a whole. I don't think it's fair to pinpoint one player or, you know, three or four players. I think as a team, we are struggling both defensively and going forward, really.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, I think we're getting him the ball enough, but again, because he gets doubled up on, tripled up on, you know, he gets isolated, and that's the trouble, because he's got no one else really that's with him. When Ansu Fati and João Pedro, I think when they come together, I think they'll be all right, but they need games together. They need to grow that partnership, as you say, like Estupiñán, Matoma, they have that partnership, and you almost need them partners across the pitch to keep the team clicking, you know, like Van Hecker, I thought was brilliant yesterday. I think he's really come into the team, like probably been one of our best defenders. Alongside Dunker, I think they're great together. And you can see like a little link form in there, and like you did with Estupiñán, Matoma. And then that's when you need it up front. And that's what De Zerbi was alluding to afterwards, obviously saying that, you know, we didn't shoot enough. And that's what he sort of basically put it down to, is that we didn't shoot enough. We didn't have enough shots in the game. I think Buonanotte went through, could have shot, didn't. We had a couple, didn't we? I think Fati had one. Was it Fati or... I think it was either Fati or João Pedro, one of the two. I can't remember who it went to now. Either way, could have had a shot. Didn't really. We didn't really take that chance. I think Gross had a shot, blazed over the bar.
Gross chance.
From Matoma. And we just didn't really have that, that finishing lethal touch like we have done in the past. But, you know, again, maybe it comes down to that whole thing of rotating so much. You don't have them partners. You don't know where each other's are going to be on the pitch every time. So maybe that's what you could put it down to.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, because I think we've all said it about 17 million times in the last 3-4 weeks. But the rotation is killing me. I'm not going to even lie anymore. Like I've wanted to be positive about it, and I don't want to sort of knock De Zerbi, but the rotation is killing me. I just feel like we need consistency. Look, let's be frank. Look at Aston Villa, right? they've got two competitions. I know it's Conference League and it's not Europa League. You could argue that, but they're in two competitions and look how well they're doing in both. They're both doing well on the European front. I know they had one loss against that Polish team, but they, you know, they went to Netherlands, got a 4-1 win in Europe, and then they go to the Premier League and get a win. Like they're showing that they can, you can have a consistent team and do well on both fronts. So I'm just not having this excuse of like, we've got too many games. We're balancing Europe and Premier League, because if Aston Villa can do it, why Aston Villa any different to us? They don't have rules where they can play more players. They don't play with 12 men on the pitch every week. Like, there's no difference between us and Aston Villa, really.
Yeah.
So
I'd say one of the biggest differences in Aston Villa, I'll give them the credit where it's due. I think they've obviously got a lot more money than us to begin with. So they started with more money.
True.
So they've had Watkins for what? 4 or 5 years. They've had Douglas Luiz for about the similar time, John McGinn similar time. They've built a core from a long time ago of good players that they could buy for a big price back then. Obviously Watkins came on a big deal, wasn't it? I think it was like 33 million plus 85k a week, wasn't it? And that's what we couldn't compete with back then. Now we could, but obviously if we were to go and spend quite a lot of money now, it'd be relying on them to just go like that, and as we've seen with the likes of Paleba, Ansu Fati, it doesn't quite work like that. So I'd say that's probably the one thing that Villa have got over us.
That's
is that
fair,
they've had these big quality players. They just weren't unlocked. You know, they're playing and not really being utilised enough. Watkins has just been absolutely different level for them. And I think that's what's really been quite a focal point for them is Watkins' impact. And Douglas Luiz has been quality. So I think, you know, these two players that have been there for such a long time, big signings, but now being able to reap the rewards of it.
But then it's like, okay, and again, I'm not saying we're a big of a club. I've got to admit, Aston Villa are a way bigger club than us.
Cool.
Like, they are a bigger club. And like you said, they've got more money. They've got more resources and stuff like that. But in terms of like being an attractive club, like, you know, and keeping, retaining a player, because you mentioned it there, like they've kept their best players over the years and we haven't. So it's like, how do we get to that level then? Like, how do we get to the level where we are retaining all our best players and we are then competing on both fronts? But yeah, just basically the point I was trying to make was like, I'm seeing what Villa are doing, and I do take your point on board, definitely. Like, I do agree. They obviously, do have more money and, you know, they've got an established core and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think even Unai Emery's, and again, correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, I don't watch Villa week in, week out, but I'm pretty sure they don't rotate every week like we do. They don't have a one and two keeper like we do. Like, it is frustrating me that the rotation is too heavy. I get if you're rotating three or four players every week, but we're rotating maybe like 6-7 players every week. And it's like, how are you meant to get any kind of consistency and stability with that amount of rotation? I just don't see it personally. And look, hopefully the Zerbi proves me wrong in the long run. And, you know, come the end of the season, we're a top six finish and, you know, we've done well in Europe. Like, I would love that. But at the moment, I'm like, what's happening? What's going on?
I've really noticed in the Prem is that we've almost gone back in time a bit, like with how teams play. So sort of, you hear me out on this. The best teams in the league at the moment, probably Newcastle, Villa, Manchester City, Arsenal. Like, those are probably your best teams, like, in terms of who, if you see them in a team, you're probably going to back them to win their game. And I'd say that those are probably your four best teams, and all of them are so physical and very, 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 like, they're very strong. They're gonna push you around a bit. You know, in midfield, they're going to be very powerhousey, driving it. Douglas Luiz is very good at it. I think that they've got that sort of strength. And the same with Newcastle, City even now. I mean, Doku's given them a completely different outlet. Rodri in midfield is so strong. I mean, I've not seen really many people push Rodri off the ball. And the same with Newcastle. As I said, those four teams seem so strong. And I don't think that's one thing we've regressed on, is our sort of physicality. You know, we used to be quite a strong team with Duffy and Dunk. And, you know, we were quite a hard team to score against. Whereas now, you know, even like Caicedo was so physical for us. McAllister, even, like, he was a bit of an underrated one with how physical he could be. You know, he looked skinny, but he was quite a strong boy. He held people off well. We don't really have that now. You know, Gilmore, as much as I like him, he's not strong. He's not going to hold someone off. But Labour could, but again, he's not quite ready yet. And that's what we're really missing.
Dahoud definitely can't.
Dahoud, I reckon I'd outmuscle him. So, you know, but, I mean, so there's a few, like, there's a few, like, quite weak, not weak, it's hard to say weak, isn't it? It's always harsh, but we're not very strong physically to be able to deal with it.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at our centre backs, like Duncan, Van Hecker are like as solid as they come, pretty much. I reckon I'd back them to as a partnership over.
Well, Van Hecker way stronger.
Like, solid, yeah. Yeah, mate, they're both fucking, like, they're hard. I reckon you put them in a boxing ring, they go all 12 rounds. It'll be an absolute slugfest. But, and go back to your point of, like, the sort of centre midfield area. Yeah, for sure. I think we are lacking physicality there, for sure. In this Premier League, like, it is a really tough physical league. And I think, you know, you do need that. And I suppose, is that an area we improve in January? Like, you know, does January come around and does Zerbi think, right, we need one more in centre midfield? But also, Yakimoda coming back. So I'm not saying he's the most physical, but he's a big lad. He's, I think, what, 6'4"?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't actually know what to expect. Because I this sounds really weird, but I guess it's because Moda played the lion's share of his Brighton career in COVID again, and it comes back to what we said earlier. I don't remember too much about him, if I'm honest with you. I don't actually specifically remember anything that Moda did that much. And that's not because he wasn't good for us. I just don't remember it. And that's,
he got a lot of stick, didn't he? Like, talking about social media, he gets a lot of stick on socials. Like, a lot of people don't rate him, which I thought was a bit unfair, really. I think, again, I'm the same as you. I don't really remember much, but from what I do remember of Yakimoda, I think he'll be a good addition to have, like, especially another body in midfield. We definitely need it, and it's something different, you know. Again, if we're going to be rotating every game and changing 6-7 players, I suppose we need all the strength we can get. So is he going to come in and revolutionize our team? Probably not, but at the same time, to have that option, 100%, you know, I'm all for it. Hopefully he comes back and absolutely smash it. Because he was linked with Bayern Munich back in the day. And, like, he's meant to be, like, the next big thing. So, look, if he can fulfil his potential, he could be a really important player for us. But, it's too early to say. And we haven't seen enough of him, so.
Yeah, and I'll just pick up on your point about January. Because do you think that Bloom is going to almost be cornered into making a little bit more of January? Because he's always said he doesn't want to go into January and spend. And look, don't get me wrong, this isn't a criticism of Bloom, but sometimes you just got to have these conversations. And I think, you know, because of how we went about the summer, we sort of, perhaps a bit naivety towards it, thinking, you know, we've been able to upgrade Bissouma with Caicedo, and we could just do that again with Baleba, and it's just going to be an easy switch. It's been anything but, to be honest. Dahoud doesn't come in and just bean McAllister. You know, it's not quite been like that. So do you think he's almost going to be a little bit, look, cornered into making some bigger decisions this January by De Zerbi and co, and saying, look, we need the players? It's quite clear with in depth we are, you know, a 10th to 8th team at the moment. We're not playing like, you know, that top 6 team, which we could be, and that's where we should be, really, with De Zerbi. So do you think we're almost going to be cornered a little bit into making that decision in January to spend a little bit?
I think
we've got the money.
We've got the money, we've got the funds. I personally, look, if I was Tony Bloom or if I was De Zerbi, I would be pushing to hell to get fullbacks, definitely. I think fullbacks are so key. We saw, look, if Estupiñán gets injured again, we're going to have to rely on James Milner at left back, and that's not what we want. Let's be honest with ourselves. We cannot be having James Milner at left back in 2023, or at full or right back, wherever it might be. Just, I'm sorry. He has to be a squad player. He has to come off the bench. He has to just be around the squad. I'm sorry. He should not be starting games. And there's no slight. I'm not saying he's been crap or he's been awful. Just, he's not good enough to be starting games. If, like you said, if we want to get to that top six, he is not a player that should be starting, in my opinion.
But
as a squad player, I'm all for it. I love his experience and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, going back to the question, yeah, I would definitely get a fullback in, left back or right, or both, right back or left back, just to have that cover. And then maybe in the attacking positions, maybe like I'm trying to think what position exactly, because you've got Ansu Fati who can play in the middle, you've got Jao Pedro who can play in the middle. Yeah, I think the right hand side probably, because obviously Solly March now is probably
we need a solid replacement, simple as that. We need a solid replacement. Like, I think that's what people will really, really undermine, is Solly's impact. Like, I think that, you know, even his versatility for us was so important. We could put him at left back, at right wing. You know, he could cut in very well. Adingra is great. I think he's a great talent. But again, he's very lightweight. And I think that at the moment, he's only 21. He's got to grow into the team. And I think he will. I think he's definitely got it about him. He'll be fine.
Again,
he just needs to beef up. He just needs to learn the team a little bit. He needs to learn the league. He's not a starter yet, Adingra. I think he's a great player. but not physical. Again, it keeps coming down to that common denominator. He's not physical enough to deal with sort of left backs and right backs in this league. And as you say, Maz, I think, yeah, replacing Solly, replacing sort of right backs, left backs, maybe, probably more so left at the moment, because I think that's where we're definitely dodgy on, provided Veltman and Lamptey can actually stay fit. For me, it's in midfield. I still don't think McAllister Caicedo has been replaced. And I think every single week I think it, and I always go in with that optimism, thinking, no, but we'll get into it. You know, belaboured who will get better. And they are, but they're still not there. And I think that's where you just need that, you know, that's where I'd spend the money.
But then I agree, but to play devil's advocate then, if you do buy another centre midfielder though, then how do you then accommodate everyone? So like Belabor and Dahoud are probably thinking, well, when are we going to get game time then?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. I mean, for me, Dahoud is good, sort of more advanced. In anywhere deeper than that, I reckon, as I say, most sort of physical counter-attacking sides are going to get through him. And I think that he's definitely more of a McAllister, but not as physical as him. He's definitely, I reckon if he played like in the Gross role, we'd see the best Dahoud. But because we can't play him there, because we haven't got Caicedo behind him, you don't see the best Dahoud. And I think that's our problem. Baleba, I think he'll be great for us. But again, he's 19. So, you know, we're relying on him to start being good for us, and he's 19. And I just think that this season, just to expect, yeah, okay, we spent 25 million on him, he's a lot of money. But I just don't think he's quite ready yet. I think he's a great talent again, you know, it's hard.
And I think it's been a running theme for the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 years, where we've always bought players for the future and not for the now. And I think that's been a recurring theme for a good 2-3 years now. And look, yeah, I'm all for it, because we've unearthed some absolute gems. Like, look at Caicedo, look at McAllister, look at the Bissouma, the players we've developed and sold on. You know, Ben White previously. Even Levi Cole, we had a big part to play in
this
development.
Though, Maz, though. Like, you look at it, yeah? Sorry to cut you off, but the players you list there, Ben White wasn't in our team before. It was Webster and Dunk. So Ben White was an add-on, and he was a great add-on. But when we lost him, it wasn't like we've missed our best player. And Caicedo was an add-on to Bissouma. He wasn't starting for us before that. And then he was actually ended up probably being arguably better than him at some points. And then McAllister, again, didn't really play for us, came into the team.
Yeah.
And these are players that have been a bit of an add-on. So the investing in the future worked perfectly, because we had a team ready then. Whereas now, we've lost McAllister and Caicedo, and they're our key. And we've not got someone that's ready. For once, we've lost the key rather than we've lost an add-on. And I think that's true, what's really shot us, I think.
And also as well, actually, you make a point about the sort of loans as well. So like, does Belabor, like, you know, really in terms of like development, Belabor probably could stayed in France, had another year in France, and then came and like, you know, started next year. But like you said, because we don't have those starters, he's had to come in and had to play. Or you know he's lacking fitness, but most of the time he's had to come in and do a job. And it's like, well, is that fair? Like on a 19-year-old,
lad who's
just come into a brand new league, like everything's new to him, and he's still struggling with his fitness and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, how can you rely on him and expect them to come in and just be the same players as we've lost? And it's just not going to happen. So, yeah.
And more unfortunately for them, as we said right at the beginning of the pod, the bar we've set, we have to then rely and expect on them, because we haven't got a choice, because they're our players and that's what we've got. And I think that's what I said right at the beginning when we signed Belabor. I said, I don't want to put the pressure on him, but I have to, because we've labelled him as the Caicedo.
10 out of 10s every week.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to then be as good as Caicedo was. And to then put that on him was always going to be a massive, massive, massive expectation. And to then say that to Gilmore, to say that to Dahoud, you have to be as good as McAllister was for us. It's a big expectation. I think that's what they haven't quite just flown into, because we haven't had that ready-made ready. I think that's what we said, wasn't it, right at the beginning when Caicedo was linked away, was he will be the one we miss, because, you know, he was our cog in that midfield towards the end of the season. He was the one that broke up. He won the 50-50s. We didn't get counter-attacked as much. You know, it was big for us.
Just my final point on this. I think as well, it doesn't actually help as well. And it all stems, in my opinion, it all stems back to rotation. Like, it doesn't help for our midfield three to always be changing as well. Like, again, it's like, how are you expecting to get the best out of De Hood, the best out of Gilmore, the best out of Belaba or whoever it might be? How do you expect to get the best out of them if they're not getting a good, consistent run of games? Because, like, Gilmore must be thinking, like, especially him. Do you remember that patch he had where he was unbelievable and then all of a sudden he just gets dropped? And it's like, surely, as Gilmore, you're thinking, well, I've just been fantastic for two or three games and I've just been dropped. And it's like, I get you're saving legs and, you know, there's loads of reasons and I get De Zerbi's probably thinking behind it all, but do I agree with it? Probably not. But again, who am I to say? I am not a Premier League manager.
But that's the fun of it, isn't it? We're not Premier League managers. We're here talking as fans about things the Premier League managers have to think about. And I think that's what people, you know, we have an opinion on it, whether it's right. It's probably not half the time, but look, that's what it is. And I think
opinions.
You know, that's the fun of football podcasts, mate. But I think, to round off the game, I thought that was a good debate on McAllister, Caicedo's replacements, etc., and squad. But I just think to round off the game, it's a good result at the end of the day, considering we've dug deep, which is one thing we haven't done enough, I think. We haven't dug deep. We haven't tried to come back into a game, especially against a team that, you know, sits so deep against us and can't get through. So for me, I'm happy with the result. I think we need to start winning games, obviously. We got Ajax, obviously, in the week. But in the Premier League, we need to start winning some games. Ajax now just won a game in there, which is great.
Oh, they won finally.
Yeah, they finally won. I think it was against the bottom of the league, but they won regardless. And again, we're going into that game. We have to win because we need to be qualifying in the Europa League. So the expectations remain high. And I think they should still, because we're still a great, great team. We're just in a very weird spot. And we need to, I don't know how we get out of it. I'm sure De Zerbi's a lot more inclined to sort that out than I am. I think a decent result nonetheless. And we'll just take 100%. It and move on.
I think the way that Everton are going, they're definitely progressing. You know, they're not, like I said earlier, they're not the same Everton that we all expect and sort of know of from last season. I think they have got much better as a team, as a unit. To go away to Everton to get a point, I'm not mad at it right now in this current moment. I'm not mad at it at all. Maybe we look back in hindsight and, you know, they go on to get relegated and we think, well, we should have been beating Everton. But right now, In the moment, I think that's what sometimes we forget to do, to living in the moment. Right now, I'll take the 1 point.
Yeah.
And we move on.
I agree.
On to Ajax.
Yeah. We'll wait for Ben for Ajax, I think.
We'll definitely do an Ajax preview. Ajax. Sure.
Okay. I think that's pretty much everything, isn't it? Unless we've missed anything.
No, referees. Smashed it.
Pretty much. Yeah, everything's covered. That 50 minutes has flown by for me. So hopefully it's done the same for everyone else watching.
It's like a therapy session, mate.
It is, isn't it, really? You just have a little rant about everything and it's all gone, isn't it? But yeah, that's probably what the headache was before I started the pod, man.
Shout out to Ryan. He's done 50 minutes of a podcast with a banging headache, so shout out.
I'm okay. I'm all right. This is what we do for everyone listening.
This is what we do. This is the commitment. This is the commitment we give to this podcast.
And I wasn't drinking before everyone says I can't handle a drink or anything. I actually wasn't drinking, so I don't need to hear all that. That's Ben's problem, not mine.
I did ask that. To be fair, first question asked, like, were you drinking last night?
Yeah, that will be tonight. But yeah, I'll we'll see you all before Ajax, which is insane to say. We'll be out in Amsterdam for the first ever time, which will be unbelievable. So yeah, we'll see you all very soon. Let us know in the comments below a bit about our talking points, Mitoma talking point, January talking point. Take one of them, one of the little things, whatever it is that sparked your interest. Want to hear your thoughts on it, because we've actually gone into quite deep things, referees as well. So there's three big talking points there: squad depth. I want to hear it. I want to hear what people think. But till then, Maz, thank you for joining me. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Leave reviews, and we'll see you just before Ajax. Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.